Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward with that. With PK coming up a little bit later in the show. Here in about 10 minutes or so, Rex Road is going to very much anger longtime Vols fan, so I look forward to that. Speaking of the Vols, Joe, a big win for Tennessee basketball last night. They crushed Louisville 83-62 at home. A top 25 matchup, number 11 Louisville, number 20 Tennessee. Tennessee improves to 8-3 on the season. And Jacoby Gillespie, 23 points last night. He was 5 of 12 from the field, but 3 of 7 from three-point land. Nate Amet, 13 points for the Vols last night, and they get it done. Joe, it's a big win for Tennessee, who, as you mentioned yesterday, had been going through some struggles over the last couple of weeks and, you know, maybe defensively have not played to the level that we're accustomed to seeing from Rick Barnes. And you mentioned some communication issues that – you thought that they were having that Rick Barnes discussed after the Illinois game last week. That's a big win for Tennessee yesterday when it comes to just basically blowing out Louisville at home. What did you make of the performance by the Vols last night?
Yeah, big win. A win that will carry some weight moving forward for sure. And yeah, you know, it's funny because like Tennessee's defense, I mean, Illinois carved them up pretty good. Hit some shots, but Illinois in some places out toughed him too. That was what was surprising. Now Tennessee, still, we're talking about number 12 KenPom defense. That's pretty good. Now we're used to Rick Barnes teams flirting with 1, 2, 3
yep.
spots, and they're not going to be that. They're not going to be that this year. You don't have. You just have a very different lead guard in Jacoby Gillespie than you did in obviously Zakai Ziegler. Zakai Ziegler was the ultimate head of the snake of a great defensive team. That's not Gillespie. Now, Gillespie is a very good offensive player. And like you said, 23 last night. Amet does, you know, hit some shots, get you 13. I like a lot how Felix Okpare has gotten better this year. And, you know, you don't see it in his numbers. He played way better last night than his numbers suggest. I like the Jalen Carey add for them. You know, 12 and 10 for him last night. And they got some young guys who are coming on here. Evans hits all three of his threes. You know, so you got some – it's a team that I think as those young guys may do a little bit more and they're just chemistry builds, I still think they can be a really good team and a threat in the SEC and a you know, a threat to do damage in the NCAA tournament. So I don't know that they quite have everything you need. Yeah, look, Amen is a very good player, but he's – you know, the comparisons can sometimes just be so they make it almost impossible for someone to not be a disappointment. And so I understand the Kevin Durant stylistic comparison with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, my goodness. I he's probably gonna go and be a first round pick, but I'd look at him right now, I'm like, my gosh, you need a year with Garrett Mettenwald and another year in college, and then you could be something. And he's not, he's a very good shooter, but he's not Kevin Durant, you know? So I think a lot of the hopes of this team being like a title contender hinged on him being a star. And sometimes that's a difference between a freshman coming in, a skinny freshman, and like a guy like Dalton Knecht, who's a grown man in his 20s, right? Who obviously it was a huge surprise 2 years ago, but I'm just saying the skinny freshman leading a team, you know, every once in a while you get a guy like Boozer at Duke. I mean, yep. He is a grown man, or Pete at Arizona, but most of them still look like kids who just got out of high school.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've watched some of Amen this year. You can see, I mean, the length, the ability, like he looks fluid out there with the way that he moves, like the movement is good. So like, yeah. You could see why he's, you know, regarded the way that he is. There are some Tennessee fans, particularly early in the year, and some of the discourse around him is like, well, this guy's not very good. Like, this guy's a five-star. It's like, Can we give the kid, like, we're not even in January yet. Like, can we give the kids some time here in college, in the college basketball season to, you know, realize that he's playing against better competition than he's ever played against in his life on a consistent basis. And by the way, we're about to get into the SEC schedule coming up, and then we're really going to see what he's made of. So I would urge Vols fans that have been down on him maybe to dial it back a little bit, calm down a little bit.
Yeah, well, and just be realistic. Yeah, just really the issue with the whole thing is just the tendency to overhype.
Yes.
It happens all the time, and
you know,
we were just talking – yeah, we were just talking yesterday about Arch, which is the ultimate. The entire world overhyped him, and it's just like, and I'm not saying like I was the only one who was like, guys, calm down. There are other people saying that too, but it's like, you don't know. So I agree with you. There is a fluidity with him for sure. You can see it. He's got to have more strength, and that's one thing. You know, with Illinois in the Illinois game, it's not like Illinois is a super physical team. But they made a point of being physical with him. They made a point at times of hunting him when they had the ball with some of their more physical guys. And so that's just the reality of what he is. But look, that's a big win. I mean, Louisville, you know, they've lost a couple games now. They lost at Arkansas. And Arkansas is growing into a really good team. Okay, so I mean, you have to keep that in mind. But I mean, That's a win that's going to, just like the Houston win, that's going to come in handy. You know, the SEC this year is not, you know, and by the way, this win, you know, Mikel Brown is the most talented player in Louisville. He didn't play last night. Yep. So you have to keep that in mind. But it's still going to be a very good win. The SEC is not what it was last year. It's still really good. I mean, last year it's like every freaking game is a quad one win.
Right.
It's like, it was. We'll never see that again. That was the greatest conference I've ever seen in my life, and I'm old, and I've watched a lot of college basketball, and it's quite a bit down from that, and yet still really good. A lot of really good teams.
Well, then there's Vanderbilt, who is undefeated. Mark Byington's gotten them up to number 13 in the country right now. They're playing Memphis tonight on the road, which, by the way, as we've talked about before on the show, Joe, I love the in-state matchups. Now, Memphis is not all that good this year. You're 4-5 heading into this. We'll see what they eventually end up turning into. But what do you make of where Mark Byington now has this Vanderbilt program, who is currently 10-0 and number 13 in the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's awfully impressive what he's done in a short period of time. And this team, I don't want to, you know, we talked earlier about the fans and people showing up and everything like that, you know, and they haven't played a lot of great teams. I think the most eye-popping thing they've done is put up 90 plus on St. Mary's, which is a team that always plays good D. But you know, Vanderbilt right now, number 10 in KenPom, they have the fourth most efficient offense. They're top 30 in D too. So yeah, but again, I do think KenPom. Remember, KenPom is just straight up your efficiency numbers, and so are theirs inflated a little bit because they haven't played quite the level of team as some of these other teams around them. I think that's fair. I also think like they're really, really legitimately good. And Tyler Tanner is a sophomore. His progress has been tremendous. You know, Nickel went for 30 last game. They have a lot of shooters. They've replenished the front court, and they just play really efficient and fun to watch basketball. I think they have a chance to win the SEC. But again, it's like, I mean, like tonight, for example, that game looked more attractive going into the year than it does now. Memphis is pretty bad.
Yep.
I expect them to go thump Memphis tonight. But pretty soon we're going to have some. I mean, I know Bama's coming in soon here to Nashville, and we're going to start really seeing if this team is what I think it could be, like a SEC champion / like deep tournament run type team in year two for Mark Byington. That's awfully impressive.
Coming up next, if you've been a longtime Vols fan, I would assume that you're about to be mad at Joe Rexroad, and I look forward to it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Kennesaw State at 6:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. I got a feeling that if you've been a Vols fan for a while, you're about to be upset with Rex Road. Rex Road, what argument have you been getting into on the social medias lately that I think I've seen this come up from time to time?
Okay, so you probably saw my back and forth with Mike Herndon then, huh?
I did.
Well, this is how this started, and it was Saturday night, Heisman stuff going on, and I almost never disagree with Mike Herndon on anything. I mean, I disagree with him way less than I disagree with, say, Paul Kuharsky.
Yeah.
Okay. But Mike Herndon, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he tweeted, I don't even know how it came up. I guess we're talking about snubs or whatever. Vanderbilt fans mad about Pavi. I don't know. But he basically tweeted, like, everybody knows that Peyton Manning should have won the Heisman over Charles Woodson by 1,000,000% or something like that. Like, basically saying, it was a robbery, and Manning was way, way better than Woodson, and everybody knew that, and it was obvious. And I'm like, dude, what? I'm sorry. Now, if you're a Tennessee fan listening to this, you can get mad, but I really think that you're wrong. I guess I never thought anyone looked at that. Yeah, of course Tennessee fans were mad, because they thought Peyton Manning should have won. And that's fine. He would have been a good winner. It was, to me, one of the great Heisman races. That's my thing. I've always thought of that. I thought of that at the time, and I still do now, as one of the great Heisman races, where it really was, like, either way, to me, would have been fine. Apparently, I mean, I'm looking at Herndon's, and now, so I don't know. I guess Jared said something, but I saw a clip from Chad Withrow on Twitter refuting, I guess Jared compared the Pavia to that one. I don't think it's a great comparison, but I heard Withrow's argument that basically, again, kind of saying the same thing, like, this was clearly, obviously, Peyton Manning's award, and it's ridiculous that Woodson won it. And you know, obviously Peyton Manning had great stats. We know he's a great player. I mean, one thing Withrow said was, like, he held like 12 NCAA records or whatever but again, it's not a career award. I mean, Peyton Manning started, what, a few games into his freshman season in 94 and put up monster numbers, but that's not what it's about, right? It's about that year.
Yeah.
I believe Charles Woodson should have won the Heisman. I also would not have been mad if Peyton Manning did. I think it was a great race. Apparently, there are people, and I guess I'm naive to not think this, but even non-Vol fans, like, again, like Herndon's a Texas guy, right? He's a Texas Longhorn, who think that was a huge robbery. I'm stunned by that. I'm floored by that. I don't think that's the case.
I'll be totally honest with you. I mean, look, I don't have a strong opinion on that race. I was 5 years old when it happened, so it's not like I was sitting there watching, you know, Charles Woodson and Peyton Manning day to day at the age of five. So, like, it's never really upset me. But I can tell you, like, I have grown up, obviously, around a bunch of Tennessee people who think it is, like, the biggest robbery of all time. Like, yes. Like, it's my entire life people have talked about how Peyton Manning got absolutely jobbed of the Heisman Trophy. Now,
yeah,
you know, I'm in Tennessee, so you have to keep that in mind. But that's been something since I was an early child that people have complained about.
Yeah. So I'll tell you who got jobbed is Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors got jobbed. Paul Hornung of the 2-8 Fighting Irish beat out Johnny Majors in 1956. That's the one Tennessee fans can complain about. I'm here to tell you. I mean, I already got a text. A Michigan homer. Woohoo! Yes, that's exactly. People confuse me with being a Michigan homer all the time. I'm telling you, I saw Charles Woodson in person multiple times, and he's the greatest college cornerback I've ever seen. And so another part of the thing that Withrow pointed out was, like, you know, he had like four touchdowns. I think the whole, oh, he plays all, you know, he plays offense, defense, special teams, that was gimmicky to help him win it. He did have a punt return for a touchdown to beat Ohio State, though, and a pick. He had this ridiculous pick in a game at Spartan Stadium against Michigan State, which was a huge play for him. It was a big game. It was like, I think top 10 teams, Nick Saban from Michigan State, and he had this one-handed pick, so that was like his Heisman moment. I'm telling you, he's the greatest corner I've ever seen. It's all about what he did as a corner. That was a – Michigan had, I think, had four lost seasons, you know, like last three or four in a row. They won it all that year. They went 12-0. They were not good offensively. Tom Brady couldn't even get on the field. He was back up for Brian Greasy. But
always a shot. Always a shot.
But they were. It was one of the greatest defenses I've ever seen, and it was all about him, man. He absolutely erased half the field. He was an incredible player. And that was my argument back and forth with Herndon. Like, dude, he's the greatest corner I've ever seen in college, and he's one of the greatest players I've ever seen in college. So Yes, by traditional measures, a quarterback of Manning's stature with all of his stats and everything, and he was just kind of considered a lock, I think, for a lot of the year. Woods had snuck up on him out of nowhere, but I'm telling you, man, I do not think it was the wrong. I do not think it was wrong at all, and I really think anybody who like was there and covered Woodson would agree with me. I don't think it's just a like a regional thing. Now, the fact that Manning, there's a really good story from Andre Adelson about this and about one, the Tennessee people thinking that ABC and ESPN pushed Woodson because back then they had the Big Ten, right? And then the Michigan people thinking that it was Fulmer who put Michigan way down his ballot, so they had to share the title with Nebraska that year, which is funny.
That is funny.
Maybe both are true, but I think people are downgrading Charles Woodson if you don't think he was deserving of the Heisman that year. It wasn't about the, oh, he plays off. He was incredible for a defense that won the national championship. And I'm sorry, but when you lose 33-20 at Florida, like it hurts you. Just like Pavia this year, when you don't play your best at Alabama and lose that game, it hurts you.
Well, it's funny you bring up Florida. I've stumbled across an article from Chris Lowe from 2017 going through the oral history of the 1997 Heisman Trophy race. And pretty early in here is a quote from Steve Spurrier, which is just right on brand. Yeah, we seem to always beat them. I'm sure that didn't help them any. I don't know. Tennessee went ahead and won the SEC that year. Sometimes those Midwest guys, maybe they just wanted the defensive back to win the thing. I can see why all those Vols fans are still mad about it. That was the quote from Steve Spurrier, which is just right on brand. Yeah, I guess it didn't help that we always beat them.
Yeah.
Peyton
Yeah, sorry
Manning.
about that. Sorry about that, Tennessee. He should have won. Yeah, he said that he voted for him, by the way.
Yeah.
So yeah. I again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, obviously Charles Woodson should have won it. I lean that way, but I think we should all be able to agree. Like it was that was one of the, that was a no wrong answer year. I think some people just because we never have defensive winners struggle with that, right? And I know last year we had a true like two-way player, but still like a very productive offensive player who won it still, right? I just Charles Woodson is one of the greatest college football players I've ever seen, and I would say the same thing about Peyton Manning. It's just the idea that that was some joke win that's just the result of a conspiracy is people is not ball knowing people saying that, or at least not understanding that year what was happening on the field. It was incredible to watch what he did to offenses.
Aaron on the text line says, hereby revoking GB Joe's status from here on out. One texter says, stop trying to make a case for Woodson. You'll never convince people in this area that it was nothing short of robbery. Keith says, I want to be rational and agree with you, Joe, but the VFL in me says, screw that. Peyton was robbed. Kuharski has weighed in and says, people were tired of Peyton Manning. Plain and simple. That's what the Kuharski has said.
So Kaharski again with an opinion that just is totally off the board and probably stupid.
I'm just telling you what he said. Again, I don't have a strong opinion on this. I was 5 years old when all this was going down.
Well, I will say so, and reading this Adelson story, and this is what I was talking about the other day. Like 110 ballots didn't have Manning on the ballot. That is ridiculous. Now 88 of them didn't have Woodson on the ballot. Like that's a year where. I'm sorry, if you're a voter and they're not both on your ballot, that's ridiculous. That to me is like you're trying to make something happen as opposed to just giving an honest vote. And that is part of the problem with the Heisman.
Yes. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Rex Road hates Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. We'll take your reaction to that. Get into the Titans as well coming up. Paul Kuharski will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road sticking the knife into the back of Tennessee fans. By the way, is that the greatest Heisman finalist list of all time? Woodson, Manning, Ryan Leaf, Randy Moss. I mean, say what you will about Ryan Leaf and his pro career, but I mean, there's a reason that it was debated that he and Manning were number one overall.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. I forgot that Moss was part of that. Look, I feel like there's a variety of opinions back on this. Kaharski, look at this from Kaharski.
Good job pretending you believe this. Nothing stirs up ratings like this.
Shut up, dude. Don't be a jackass. I mean, yes, now he says it's hard to believe you believe it. Feels Clay travesty. Okay, great. Now, look, man, Clay travesty. I like that. Yeah, I 100% believe this. Shut up, Karski. Stop being a dweeb. No, I 100% believe this. And again, it does matter. Now he's saying people were sick of Manning. That's fine. That may be true. There's probably some of there was a lot of Manning hype for 4 years, so maybe there was some Manning fatigue as part of this. I'm telling you, man, I watch this guy, and it does matter if you see someone in a press box or in a stadium and you see what he does to a game. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen. There's two defensive players that I believe absolutely should have won the Heisman. It is him in 1997, and it is Ndamukong Suh, as I've said a million times, in 2009, who was so dominant. I was like, that is the best player in college football. And that's what I said about Charles Woodson. I don't care about the punt returns. I don't care about every once in a while they gave him a reverse or threw a pass to him. That was gimmicky, probably to help him win it. But no, as a corner, I'm in an argument right now on the text line. He's like, well, Manning's one of the best three or four quarterbacks that's ever played. I agree. What is Woodson as a corner? Tell me where
I mean,
Woodson is as an all-time
he's up there.
cornerback in the NFL. I mean, I think he's top three, top two. I mean, I think he's that high. But as great as he was in the NFL, and he was for a long time, the 1997, he terrified every single offensive coordinator they played. They would not mess with his side of the field. I swear to you. Like, this is not made up stuff. This is real stuff. And so I think the good voters who watched that, and again, watched a kind of middling, certainly a middling offensive team with Brian Griese at quarterback while Tom Brady, went and, did scout team. Like, that team should not have been a 12-0 football team. And they go look at the rest of their defense and how many guys made an impact in the NFL. Not that many. He was that dominant that he completely changed the math on a pretty good team into a 12-0 national champion.
I mean, clearly this is it's a debate that's lived on for almost 30 years at this point, right? I mean,
And it's a good debate, but the debate should not be how this was horribly just this huge injustice. I don't think.
Well, you're never going to win that argument around here. I mean, I think you got to know that heading into the conversation. I mean, you're in a radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. That argument is not going to be won here.
But again, if you're a Tennessee fan and you're like, Peyton should have won, that's a totally fine argument, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's a great argument. The idea that like Woodson had no business being in the room, that's what we're talking about. Like, come on. That's not reality.
Keith said Woodson striking the Heisman pose is what did it. Peyton should have done that on his QB sneak. Just get in there, QB sneak. Peyton gets up, does the Heisman pose. He'd have been fine. And Pavi did that a few times.
Yeah, that's true. And he did not win. Did Mendoza do one?
I don't know. I don't know if I saw Mendoza do that.
Dennis, thank you, Dennis. Woodson over Manning was in no way robbery. That's all I'm saying. Caleb says Joe hates the two best QBs of all time. Look, I've told you, if we're in all seriousness, who is the best quarterback of all time? The best quarterback I've ever seen play football in the NFL is Peyton Manning. I absolutely believe. Rob, how many times has I said that, Robbie?
You've said it many times.
Now, he didn't have the rings that Brady have, didn't have the longevity, but I believe that his stretch with the Colts, in 05 to oh, including the Super Bowl, and that stretch, 03, 04, 05 to about 08, 09, 10, whatever. I think that's the greatest quarterback play the NFL's ever seen. So there you go.
Now, he hates Brady much more than he hates Manning. There's no doubt about that.
I hate neither of them. They're great. Look, I bet you that in 1997, again, Tom Brady's third year of college, so he's a redshirt sophomore. I bet you that his play for the scout team helped Charles Woodson get ready every week.
I'm sure it
I
did.
mean, that's an important role for a national champion. You're like, I don't remember if he was QB2 or QB3, but you're a backup. You get in the meeting room. You help Brian Griese, the superior quarterback, get ready each week, and then you go out in their scout team, and maybe Woodson honed his skills because of your work on the scout team. Good job, Tom Brady.
Thanks. I knew there was a way you could bring that back to Brady there. It's good stuff.
What?
In the most disrespectful
An
manner
important
possible.
role. It's a very important
most
role.
Disrespectful manner possible. I mean, by the way, Brady, 1997, 12 of 15 on the year for 103. A high completion percentage in 97.
There you go. A little garbage time against like Miami of Ohio or something, right? Yeah. Good job, Brady.
I'm looking at his overall college stats. I mean, it is kind of amazing he got drafted, given his physical build and the college stats that he put together. And then he ends up being the greatest player to ever play. It's amazing.
No, as I've said, because I'm sitting here making this strong case for a Michigan player and for Michigan fans. I mean, Michigan fans who claim Tom Brady is hilarious, man. I've been at a stadium where they booed so much that he was even on the field. I mean, it was like, get him out of here. Drew Henson is the legit talent. Why are we still messing with Tom Brady? What are you doing, Lloyd Carr? And I was like, Tom Brady, our hero. We love you so much.
Keith says, you know your NFL team is bad when you're debating the Heisman Trophy from 28 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, we got plenty of Titans talk coming.
Yeah, exactly. We got some questions for PK.
Plenty of Titans talk coming. Yeah, you know, people keep bringing up the NFL careers of both. Like, first off, it doesn't matter in the Heisman Trophy race how the NFL careers both shook out. But again, to your point, right, like, I know they played different positions, and somebody has said, you know, Austin says quarterback objectively harder to play, and I agree with that. Like, quarterback's probably the hardest position to play in sports. But, like, if you're using Peyton Manning's NFL career to, like, justify the Charles Woodson part of it, it's like, well, Charles Woodson had a pretty darn elite NFL career as well, too. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, again, that Heisman Trophy finalist in 97, Woodson, Manning, Moss, and then Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, so three, truly, like,
of the best players to ever play the game.
I don't know, maybe, I mean, some people would argue this on Manning. I think that you could make the argument top three all-time players at those positions?
Yes.
Am I being hyperbolic?
You could certainly make the argument. I mean, Moss, I don't think there's any question, is a top three wide receiver of all time. Woodson is definitely in that conversation. There, you know, whether it's, you know, Dion you want to throw in there, somebody's throwing out, you know, Revis that you could throw in there. Like, there are different guys that you could
throw
in there.
I think it's Dion and Woodson. I do. I think it's those two. So, Josh from Lebanon, I was a freshman in high school when this Heisman race was going on. Having lived here my entire life, listening to Tennessee fans, and being a Michigan fan myself, Woodson completely deserved the Heisman. Will that argument ever be won here? No. I wish you weren't a Michigan fan, Josh, because everything else you said there is like, there you go. But obviously, your fandom is going to get in the way here. And again, I'm not speaking from fandom. You know, I'm just speaking from like, Woodson was incredible. No doubt about it. I do love the idea that Philip Fulmer, I guess I hadn't really heard that, or maybe I forgot. Like, Fulmer is the one who screwed Michigan in the coaches poll.
I'd love to see it.
This Adelson story quoted him. He's like, I got to see if I can find this quote. He's like, I don't remember where I voted him, but I think that was up there near the top.
I have no idea where I put him.
Yeah. God, that's an amazing. Yeah, here we go. Quote, Fulmer. Quote, yeah, I've heard that once or twice. That's not true. None of it is. I can't remember exactly where I did vote them, but I voted like I thought it should be, right near the top, because they're one of the top teams that year. End quote. There, so in other words, yeah, number 7, right? Is that cool?
I voted them at number 16. They're in the top 25. It's all good.
Yeah, that still means you're one of the top teams.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Kuharski will be with us at 8 o'clock, getting into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I can be nimble.
Where are the fans? There's no fans here. Where are they?
Nick Saban slamming a beer for sure.
So you can ask the bottle, but don't ask me.
Built to pound.
I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed!
A pineapple? I have no idea what that means.
I have dyslexia.
Oh my God, what do I do with my hands?
Why are you holding your hands like that?
What does she think of the balls grabbing Karen?
No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Paul, the dyslexic jerk. I yelled at everybody yesterday.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning here on the program. More masterful work done by Ian Safar there. Joe, with that in the backdrop, the floor is yours.
Oh, I'm ranting?
I thought so.
I thought Ian was ranting today.
Are we?
Have we gotten
Ian rant before?
No. Agreeable Ian. At some point, I mean, once a year, Agreeable Ian needs to just absolutely lose his mind on everything that's bothering him in the world.
Yeah.
As nice as he is.
The one thing, it's non-sports that has kind of been bothering me lately. I don't know if this is completely rant-worthy, but I don't know if this is just something I've noticed as I've gotten older and doing more, like, grocery shopping. But the reason that some of these items at the food stores go on sale, I'm starting to wonder. I'm really starting to wonder why some of the food gets put on sale. It's starting to bother me.
We talking quality of food here?
We're talking quality. We're talking expiration dates.
Oh, boy.
We're talking this kind of stuff. Like, hey, oh, this is on sale? I'm going to go look. Oh, it expires in 2 days. That's why.
That's why it's on sale.
That's why it's on sale. Oh, these raspberries, $1.99 a thing. Cool. We'll grab some. Take them home. Virtually inedible. So it's like, okay, is this always been why things have gone on sale at the grocery store? Is because they're either about to go bad or they don't taste good? Or is this just some new phenomenon?
Okay. That's a good point. I don't know.
Well,
I need to start paying attention.
The thing that infuriates me is I've bought stuff and then I get it home and it's after the expiration. It's like, how in the heck could that be possible?
Yeah, just you know? I've noticed it more and more lately, especially over the last few months. You know, maybe perhaps the whole shifting of the dynamics with the groceries and everything is playing a part. But I don't know. Just something I've noticed a little bit more lately.
Well, that's a good complaint. I would like to actually add a complaint to this rant on Kaharsky. I mean, let's go back and see what he just said here, okay?
Okay.
I guess I always thought Kaharsky was honest when he went on the air, you know, and put a microphone in front of his face. But like, is this how he goes about his business? Is this how he goes about his business to, you know, quote, this is a good job pretending you believe this. Nothing stirs up ratings better here. It's hard to believe you believe it. Like, what? Is that how you go about your business? That's very Stilly-ish. I think that would be another reason, I guess, that Stilly and Pauly should exist. So you guys can just make up fake opinions. We don't make up fake opinions. We may have dumb opinions. Well, I won't even say we.
Oh, you could say
I
me.
May have. But have we ever said in our hours, days, weeks, months of pre-show meetings, whatever, you know what? I don't think this opinion, but I'm just going to pretend I do to get conversation going.
No.
Have we ever done this?
No, I think our producer, executive producer, Tom Izzo, would run us out for that, you know?
That's true.
I don't think he'd like that.
He'd have a big problem with that. But seriously, I mean, that's ridiculous. Kaharsky needs to answer for himself here. I mean, I have always enjoyed Kaharsky's previous shows that he was on. I enjoy him on our show. Is he just completely BSing us? Was he just full of crap? Was he actually like a country music fan when they played the Lene Kukua, you know, and he actually knew all those songs?
Big fan of John Rich.
He didn't? What's that?
Big fan of John Rich.
Big and Rich. Garcia's got like a Big and Rich box set.
He's a Big and Rich. He's not really going to see Springsteen. He's going to see Big and Rich all over the country.
Yeah, so he's now texting instead of, you know, helping us out and being in studio. He's sitting there texting furiously in traffic, causing an accident. He says, no, that's how you're going about your business. So just like, no, it's not, you jackass. I mean, he's just, whatever. He's just trolling me now. But I mean, this is a serious question for you, Kaharsky. This is a serious question because it really is. Like, I hate that stuff. Like, it's not hard to just tell what your actual opinion is. It may suck. I've had terrible opinions. I mean, Hendon Hooker, by now, I think, was going to be an all-pro quarterback, okay? So, like, we're wrong all the time, but, like, there's no reason to have a fake opinion. I watched Charles Woodson in 1997, and he's one of the greatest college football players I've ever seen. That's not some made-up thing. Did you notice that he won the Heisman? You think that's some crazy opinion someone would make up? Shut up, Karski. He better admit that he's just trolling right now. If not, then I have to question his entire career.
One texter says, in true Ian fashion, the most Mr. Rogers rant of all time about the groceries. That was good stuff. Let's go to our phone line.
Driven by kind rant.
It was. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad in Hendersonville to the program. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, I'm loving it. Good stuff. You know, Kaharski has made his entire career, and I've been following him for a long time just by following local radio and all that, by being a contrarian. I mean, that's just based on fact that he lives to go to the opinion that is low-hanging fruit, that will go to argumentative, that will stir up his brand, right? I mean, we all have to have a brand. We all have to sell something. And I've always thought that he was selling a contrarian opinion or selling something that was against the grain or loved to be. I mean, he's kind of famous.
So you've always thought he was fake? You thought he was fake?
Well, I don't think it's – fake is a tough word because I think it's just you have to have a brand. I mean, he is infamous – In the professional world through the Titans camp of being that guy, right? He's the guy that, you know, how many times has he tried to bait the respective NFL coach with the Titans? You know, I know where you're going with this, Paul. He's had numerous interactions with players where he loves to go after them. So, I mean, that's kind of his brand, right? And so when he sees an opportunity like this, he's going to jump right in there because – at the end of the day, what are we talking about? We're talking about Paul Kaharski, right? And that's the brand, right? That's how else is he going to get there? So I think that's just I think this is just on brand for me.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate the call.
Yeah,
masterful job there, Rex Road, of getting the conversation to flip on Paul Kaharski there. Look at you getting people calling in bashing Paul now.
I mean, everybody has to have a brand. What like what's my brand? An Alyssa Milano obsessed gout? Sufferer? I don't know, I mean what Chad is saying is that Kaharski's fake and is building has built his career on which I've never believed until now. I think Kaharski is a contrarian because he is a listen, in all seriousness on Kaharski, how many times since he's been on our show have we batted about some ridiculous Jared thing where he's actually like the voice of reason about it, right?
Yeah. Let the record show. I have lots of respect for Paul Kaharski and the job that he does.
I mean, I have too.
Let the record show.
I always have. I mean, today may be a tipping point. I mean, he's going to have to answer for himself.
Well, I guess he'll do that here in a minute. Paul Kaharski from PaulKaharski.com will be with us coming up next. We got a lot of things on the Titans front. And I guess the 1997 Heisman Trophy race to get into it with him as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.